This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome to Radio K Pulpit, and if you are just tuning in, you have tuned in to She Excels. And this is a program for every woman who knows she was created by the Lord for more. If you are new to this show, a very big welcome to you. And I'm your host, Annie Sunny. If you are a returning listener, I'm grateful you're here again. You are the reason why we keep showing up every Thursday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Make sure you let your friends know that She Excels is on and you don't want to miss, right? You don't want to miss. So what do we do here? Here we call women higher. We call you to the next level, to the next place God is calling you to. We call you to live with vision, that vision you received from the Lord. We call you to walk in purpose. You were created by God for a purpose, and your life must show that that is the purpose for which you were created. Your life must exemplify the fact that you are a woman on an assignment. And we want you to build mastery around the skills, the gift, and the things that God has given you to live out your purpose and to do it excellently. Amen. So at She Excels, we help you discover God's blueprint for true success, and that is success by the book. And the book we're referring to here is the Bible, the greatest book on success, because we believe that success apart from God is no success at all. It's no success at all. Therefore, this is your time. As you listen to today's show, this is your time. God will be speaking to your heart. God will be shifting things, shaping things, downloading things. This is your time. And as you listen, that is a call from the Lord to you to respond and do the next thing he has asked you to do. Go to the places asked you to go. You know, say the next thing that he has asked you to say. So this is your call. So we are all about becoming the women God designed us to be. Today I'm continuing in the series, The Mind of an Excellent Woman. And this is part two. We talked about what is dominating your mind in part one last week. If you missed that, make sure you go to our app, you know, and go to the podcast section and you'll be able to find She Excels. Hallelujah. That's amazing. Game changer. We now have our podcast for She Excels. So if you missed any episode, you can go back and listen to the replay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So you can really never miss because you have an option to go back and listen to the replay. So today my assignment is to talk on the battle for your mind, the battle for your mind. And I want you to win that inner war that is standing between God's purpose and you. Amen. That is standing between you and God's purpose, and that is your mind. You need to win there. We need to win there. And there's so many scriptures that we'll be reading to establish victory in our mind, because there is a battle going on there. If you have ever felt internal resistance while trying to move forward in obedience to the Lord's call on your life, then this conversation of today is for you. Many times we assume that struggle means we are off track. But often the tension we feel is not failure. It's not a missed path. It is resistance from the enemy. You have an enemy. Most often, like I just said, that whenever we see ourselves going through difficulties, we feel that, oh my God, maybe we are wrong. This may not be God. God did not call me to this. God did not say, no, no, no. Resistance does not mean that God is not in it. You might just be in a warfare. And you need to know that so that you pick up the right sword, the right battle axe, the right instrument to deal with that issue, so that you do not go off the path thinking that it was not God in the first place. So today I really want to speak into that that topic, that there is a battle for your mind. Amen. So every direction from God will attract opposition. That's one thing you know, because the devil does not want you to carry out God's call on your life. It brings God glory when we live out our purpose. So know that when you take step towards God, the enemy is coming after you. It attracts opposition. And the first place that opposition shows up is in our mind. So today we are uncovering how thoughts become battlegrounds, and why learning to win in your thinking is essential to walking forward consistently. We want you to walk forward consistently. Amen. So our key scripture for today is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. We're going to read that, but we'll first of all take a break. But stay tuned. Get your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, dear listeners. You have just tuned in to She Excels, and I'm your host, Annie. We are talking today about the battle for your mind, and we want to establish victory in that area and be victorious over the enemy. Before we took a break, we established that the enemy doesn't like that we pursue the things of God, that we make the things of God first in our lives. He will come after us. You know, every direction we take towards God will attract opposition. And we also saw that opposition starts in the mind. And today our goal is just to uncover how thoughts become battlegrounds, and why learning to win in our thinking is essential to walking forward consistently, forward towards doing what God has called us to do consistently. So let's not be surprised about the battles that take place in our minds. It's just the enemy saying that, I don't want you to make space for God. I don't want you to run after the things that God has placed in your heart to run after. I'm going to fill your mind with so many things that will weaken you, discourage you, you know, and just take you out. But no. That's why we have this episode today, to tell that woman, that sister, you know, that daughter of God who is going through battles in her mind, that she can win. You can win, sister. You can win. So I just want you to understand the battle you're in and why your mind is the target. Amen. Why is my mind the target? The truth is that spiritual warfare often begins with our thoughts. They begin right there. I'm telling you, I have been victorious and defeated by just thinking thoughts. I don't know who can agree with me on that, but that is so true. There are times when I'm down and I'm out, immediately I start confessing scripture and saying who God says I am, and saying it over and over. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. As I begin to speak these words, my mind is receiving it. It's like I'm preaching to myself, and the evil thoughts, the debilitating thoughts, you know, those thoughts that have captured my mind and make me feel defeated, they start losing their power. They start losing their grip. And before long, the person who used to be depressed, downcast, and felt defeated is up again and ready to take another step with God. And that is my prayer for you, that you will come to that place, that whatever the enemy has been throwing at you, you know, through your thinking, you will know victory in that area. So spiritual warfare often begins with your thoughts. And the mind is a gateway to decisions and actions. You should know that last week we talked about being gatekeepers of our minds, you know, checking and making sure that we don't allow anything come in there that has no place as far as God's purpose for our lives is concerned. So become a gatekeeper. Your mind is a gateway to decisions and the actions that you take. Not every thought you think has come from you. That's one thing you must know. Sometimes we culpabilize ourselves and say, oh, look at what I'm thinking. This is who I am. No, don't allow your thoughts to define you. Your thoughts are not yours, but you can make them yours. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Don't make your thoughts yours. Don't make the thoughts that come to your mind yours, because they are thoughts that have come from the enemy. They are his suggestions. And if you don't if you don't take note immediately that these are suggestions from the enemy and start dealing with them, you will make them yours and you become a captive to those thoughts. Amen. So, dear woman of God, the battle you feel is not imaginary. Sometimes we think, oh, is it me? Is it what is happening? It's not imaginary. But also know that it is not physical. The Bible says in the scripture that we said we're going to read. Let's just read that scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captive. Amen. Bringing every thought, into captivity. So it's important to know that we need to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought that comes against the knowledge of God, against the purpose of God, against the vision that God has given us, against the assignment of God on our lives, against the progress we must make in our walk with God. All these thoughts, they must come, we must captivate them. We must bring them into captivity so that they have no power to control our lives. Amen. So the Bible says we do not walk in the flesh, but we do not walk in the flesh. We do not war against according to the flesh. So sometimes we might feel that I have to do something physical about this thing. No. I have to do something physical. It's a physical thing. I have to fight. I have to revenge. I have to, those thoughts that come to your mind and you think that, oh no, I have to do something physical to drive them away. No, it's not physical. What is happening is internal. It's happening inside. It's a real conflict, but it's not with people or circumstances or even timing. That's not what you're fighting against. It's not people. You're not fighting against timing. You are having an internal battle that is taking place. And the mind is targeted because through your thoughts, you shape your beliefs, and your beliefs will influence the decisions you make, and the decisions will determine your direction and the actions you take. So it's so important. This is very critical. We cannot joke with it. The thoughts that come into our minds that we accept, because they are going to shape our beliefs. Very soon you'll be believing what you're thinking. And then when you start believing what you're thinking, it will influence the decision you make. And once your decisions have been influenced, your action will follow. Like I always say, when I want to eat an ice cream, I know ice cream is not healthy, but it's something I like to eat. And I start thinking about it. I'm telling you, when that thought dominates my mind, I have ice cream and I have chocolate cake. For those who are lovers of ice cream and chocolate cake, shout out to you. Chocolate cake is my, I can't say much about that, but I just love it. The dark, moist one. Okay, back to what we're talking about. So when I start thinking about having these amazing, desserts, I will think and think, and before long, I will make the decision that I need to have them. In short, the thought will convince me that you must have me, and I will go for it. So be very careful about what comes into your thought, because they will determine your action, and your action will tell us who you are, right? It will tell us who you are. So if the enemy can influence your thinking, he can interfere with your life. He can interfere with your ability to do the things that God has commanded and or has called you to do. And how does he do that? He does that by filling your mind with things that are not necessary, as far as your purpose is concerned. The devil wants to stop your purpose. He wants to stop you from making decisions and taking action towards your purpose. So he will fill your mind, exhaust your mind, and make you know that, this is what you should be thinking about, and this is how your life should go. He will suggest things other than, contrary to, opposite to what God is asking you to do, and he will make them feel so right. So some of the ways that he will do that, He'll exhaust your mind. And this exhaustion looks like what? It looks like overthinking, doubting, confusion, indecision, fear. And when the mind is tired, when the mind is full of all this overwhelm, what happens? You become unclear about what God is expecting of you, what action to take next. There's a man of God, they call him Stephen Fortick. He said, the greatest battlefield is the space between your ears. That is the space between your ears. He will cause you to overthink. He will cause you to doubt. He will cause you to be confused. He will lead you into indecision. He will make you fear. All of that is happening because the enemy wants to make you not focus on what God wants you to focus on. So I want you to reflect on these questions before we take a break. What thoughts have been repeating in your mind lately? You know, we said faith comes by hearing and hearing. The more you listen to these thoughts, they become so true. They are like, this is it. This is what you must do. So what thoughts have been repeating in your mind lately? Do these thoughts align with God's truth or contradict it? When you feel stuck, what are you telling yourself internally? So these are reflection questions that I want you to answer so that you are able to identify these thoughts and take them captive. Take them captive. What thoughts have been repeating in your mind? Take them captive. So declare with me, I recognize the battle and I do not ignore it. So like I said, we are in a battle. So you need to recognize. Don't be in denial. There's a battle in your mind. If you're feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, fearful, doubting, all of that tells me that there is a battle in your mind. So you're declaring with me, I recognize the battle and I do not ignore it. My mind is alert. My mind is disciplined. And my mind is anchored in truth. Amen. I refuse mental exhaustion. I walk in clarity in the name of Jesus. Father, give me discernment. Give my sister discernment to recognize when she's under mental pressure. Give us the ability to know and recognize when we are under mental pressure that has come from the enemy. Lord, help us not to normalize these pressures, not to accept them, but to confront them with your truth. Lord, strengthen our minds so that we remain steady in you and not be moved by the enemy as he comes into our thoughts to dissuade us. We pray that we will stay steadfast in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's take a music break. Welcome back, dear listeners. And for those who are just tuning in, you have tuned in to She Excels, and I'm your host, Amy. We are talking about the battle in your mind. And it's so important for us to know that the enemy of our soul is coming after our mind. He wants us to deviate from what God has called us to. He wants us to stop. He wants us to give up. He wants us to just not do what God wants us to do. He wants our purpose to be a dream and never become a reality. But that's not what we're accepting today. Today we say, no, no, no. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So our main text was, is 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3 to 5. And I want to focus on one part of that verse, that passage that we're reading. It says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I want us to just stand on that word, strongholds. So strongholds are not just visible struggles. The Bible really emphasizes that we need to pull them down, the strongholds. They are not visible struggles. They are established patterns of thinking that feel true even when they are not. So something becomes so true in your mind that is not really true. It's not true. You've not experienced it. It's still sitting in your mind and it has become like a reality. The Lord says these are strongholds. We must pull them down because they are going to define our lives. They are not true, though they feel true. That's one thing you must settle. That whatever thoughts you have that has made you to define your personality, who you are, but it just came as a result of your thoughts. You need to reject it. It's a stronghold. And the best thing to do to a stronghold, as Paul prescribes in 2 Corinthians 10, that pull it down. Pull it down. So stronghold sounds like this: I'm not ready. So these are things that is a pattern, something you've told yourself over and over and over. Say, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. This will never work. this will never work. Like each time I think of something big that the Lord, you know, has called me to, and I look at my skills, I look at my resources, I look at my connections, I look at my age, I look at, you know, you can name the things that you look at, and you say, this will never work. It will never work. Not in this day, age, or time. It will never work. So you've said it so many times such that it has become so true, to a point where you don't even see the solution that is right before your eyes. Your thoughts will blind you from seeing possibilities. How do strongholds sound like? What they sound like? I was not called for this. Think about Moses. Moses said, I cannot speak. I was not called for this. This cannot be me. It cannot be for me. Oh, I'm in error. I'm always making errors. You know, I used to tell myself, Annie, you're so slow. You are very slow. I whisper that to myself. Like, it comes just naturally. You know, say, Annie, why are you so slow? And then sometimes I wonder, where is that thought coming from? I have repeated that thought over and over again, so much that when I'm in a project and I'm doing it and I'm concentrating, that thought just pops out. Annie, you're so slow. I'm like, no, you know, so it has become a stronghold. And right now I command that stronghold to come down. I pull it down in Jesus' name. You know, I don't know what stronghold sounds like for you, but I believe that there are some thoughts that you've been entertaining over and over. And the danger is this: when a thought repeats long enough, it stops feeling like a lie and starts sounding like truth. And that is not what we want. We don't want that. Let's take an example of Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, the enemy didn't force her to say, you know, just disobey God. He suggested a thought. He said, did God really say, you know, did God really say, what is happening? She starts thinking, what did God say? She will bring it to mind. I say, okay, God said, didn't. She will surely ask herself, but did God really say it the way I'm thinking he said it? He suggested a thought and the battle began. She entertained it, she engaged in it, and she began to reconsider what God had already made clear. So sometimes when the devil comes and suggests something to you that is contrary to what God had told you, or that makes you to question what God told you, ask you, is that how he really said it? Did he really say you write a book? Did he really say you should start that Sunday school class? Did he really say you should start that business? Did he really say you should take it to another level? Did he really say you're going to be helping 5,000 children? Did he really say that? And then all of a sudden you start doubting what God said. So Eve did not fall in the garden first. She fell in her thinking. And that is where most of us, we fall. You know, we go right ahead and just accept the suggestion from the enemy, and then we change the narrative of what God told us before, and we start believing the lie. So before she ever took the fruit in her hand, she had already accepted the thoughts in her mind. You see how it shaped her action. That is what happened. A suggestion from the enemy completely changed her action, because she accepted and entertained that thought in her mind. Think of the Israelites. God told them that the land was theirs. They are free. They should go ahead and possess the land. You know, but they saw the giant and they said, oh, it seems like we are grasshoppers. And we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Can you believe it? So did you notice that they are now seeing themselves as grasshoppers? You know, so it did not start with the giants. It started with their perception, what they saw themselves to be, perception from their mind. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself in light of what God has called you to? Oh my God, I'm telling you, this is so real, because I have experienced it first time. Each time I think of what God is calling me to do, I shrink. I just become like a little ant before that thing. I'm like, my goodness, me. I don't know how. But one thing the Lord has helped me is that every time He would just tell me, take one step and take another step and take another step. Each time I take those steps, I see myself growing. I see myself, you know, going above the hills. You know, sometimes we just look at the mountain and say, oh my God, this mountain. No. That mount, before you get to that mountain, there are little hills, you know, and the valleys and hills. As you conquer them, you're getting closer to the mountain. And before long, when you turn back, you say, wow, see how far I've come, but by the help of the Lord. So what happened to the Israelites? You know, they were free, but mentally they were in bondage because of their perception, how they saw themselves, you know. So because of that thinking, they delayed what God had already given them. God told them, that land is yours. Are you delaying what God has already given you because of how you perceive yourself, you know, looking at what you have? I only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How? No, just give it to Jesus and He's going to make a miracle happen out of that. The Bible says 5,000 men ate from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5,000 men. How possible was that? A little boy's lunch. So just bring it to Jesus. Don't have that perception of yourself that makes you look like a Lilliputian, you know, or an ant, you know, or a grasshopper, as the Israelites saw themselves to be. So, woman of God, it is very important that you do not allow strongholds to take hold of your mind. Don't allow a thought to keep coming. You know, if a thought is not challenged, it will become a stronghold. If you don't challenge it and say, I'm able. So the opposite of the things that you told yourself, I'm not ready. You say, I'm ready. I'm not good enough. You say, I'm good enough. You know, in the name of Jesus, you know, I'm beautifully, wonderfully made. The Lord has called me. I'm a treasure in earthen vessel. You know, start quoting those scriptures that the Lord has already ministered to you about. That tells you of who you are. Hallelujah. This will never work. This will work. You say the opposite. You say the opposite of it. Don't allow it to become a stronghold. Jeremiah said, you don't have to believe every thought you think. You don't have to believe it. You know. So last week we said you need to be a gatekeeper of your thoughts by challenging it with this question. So I'll just repeat the questions that I talked about last week, that you are going to be using to challenge every thought that comes to mind. And that is how you take your place as a gatekeeper. The first question you ask is, does this thought push me towards obedience to God? Towards obedience. When I think of this thought, does it make me want to obey God more? If it doesn't, put it aside. Another question you should ask just to scan through that thought and to justify whether it's something you should go with or let go. It says, does it strengthen faith or feed fear? Does it strengthen faith or does it feed my fears? If it strengthens your faith, go with it. If it feeds your fear, let it go. It's a stronghold. Don't allow it to take hold of you. Another question, the last one is, does it have eternal value? Does it have eternal value? When you think about Jesus, when He said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it was like, should I turn it into bread? Should I turn these stones into bread? How is this going to glorify God when I'm listening to the enemy telling me to turn stone into bread? Say, no, I must listen to God. The words that come out of the mouth of God, that's what I should be listening to, not the words that proceed out of the mouth of the enemy. So let's ask some reflection questions. So the 3 questions I just asked you to you to, I just gave you right now, I want you to use that to just check whether the thoughts are from God or not. So now let's get now to the thoughts you're currently thinking. Let's do some reflection questions as we talk about how to stop them from becoming a stronghold. Which thought has become too familiar in my life? Just like I told you about my thoughts, it's like, any you're too slow is one of them, or this will not work, or you can't do it. Are you becoming too familiar with a negative thought that makes you not to be able to proceed with God's call on your life? What have you accepted mentally that God never said. You know, the enemy suggesting to Eve. Has the devil suggested some things to you that God never said? Think about that. Write it down so that you can challenge them. Where am I thinking like my past instead of my promise? Like the Israelites, they felt that they were still in captivity even while they were going to the promised land. Oh, the giants are there. Like the giants, like the Egyptians are there. They are going to keep us in slavery again and make us their slaves. No, God has promised the land is yours. So where are you thinking like the past instead of the promise? God is taking you to a new place, new wine, but you're still wanting the old wine. Think about it. What thoughts are those that are keeping you in your past? And let's declare. I break every stronghold in my thinking. I reject every lie I have believed. My mind aligns with God's truth for my life. I walk in clarity and I walk in freedom. Free from these thoughts in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, expose every hidden stronghold in my thinking. Help me to recognize the thoughts that are not from you. I choose truth over familiarity and freedom over limitation in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free. I'm free. I'm free from the strongholds. I pull them down right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's take a break. Welcome back, dear listeners. I'm definitely sure you are getting something out of what we've been sharing about. And for those who are just tuning in, you have just tuned into She Excels. And we are talking about a battle in your mind. And we want to take every thought captive. We want to walk in victory. That's Jesus has called us to walk in victory. We are supposed to walk in victory. And the Lord understands that there is a battle in our mind. And when our mind is plagued with challenging thoughts that make us, you know, weak, that make us paralyzed and makes us not to believe what God has told us, we will walk in defeat. We will not follow what God has called us to run after. And we will not believe the possibility of living a life of purpose and doing it and completing it and finishing. Like Jesus Christ said, I have brought you glory by completing the assignment that you gave me. God has given you an assignment, woman of God, and God wants you to victoriously complete the assignment. Jesus was victorious. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph. God wants you to be triumphant. God wants me to be triumphant. But the enemy of our soul is after our minds. He believes and he understands that our thoughts can become strongholds, and those strongholds will stop us. But the Lord said it through Paul, and Paul taught us, as we've been reading in 2 Corinthians 10, that every thought that has become a stronghold, we must pull it down. We must bring every thought to captivity, to obey Jesus. You know, we must not allow our thoughts to determine our actions. Obedience to Christ is necessary even for our thoughts. But the question you may be asking me is, any, do I have the authority to be able to control my thoughts? Will I not just allow the Lord to do it for me? No, the Lord will not do it for you. You have authority. Paul said in that verse that bring every thought into captivity to obey Christ. It doesn't say call Jesus to bring every thought. You have to bring every thought. I have to bring every thought. I'm not powerless in my thinking. I'm not powerless. You are not powerless. You can control what you allow in your mind. Amen. You have authority to say no to the thoughts that make you go astray, that make you do things that God does not want to do. You have authority over what stays in your mind. And I have authority over what stays in our minds. It's not like the thoughts will not come. They will come, but we do not allow them to stay in our minds. Amen. So I want us to look at David. We can see in scripture that many people faced very challenging situations, but they did not allow those situations to define their next move. They took authority. They took authority. There are things that God will do for us, but there are things that we must do. When the Lord blessed the bread of the young lad and was able to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, the young lad had to bring his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So we have a part to play. We have our thoughts and we have the word of God to help us to be victorious, to walk in victory and not in defeat over the enemy, who is definitely going to come, you know, against us through our thought life. So David had an issue. If you remember the story of the defeat or the issue they had at Ziklag, where they went to war, and then when the king said, "No, you're not fighting with me, go back to your place where you were living," that was Ziklag. When he returned, he found out that people had come and raided their homes, took away their wives and children, and the men were so angry with David, and they almost, they wanted to stone him or kill him. But the Bible said that David strengthened himself in the Lord. You can find that in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. So David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. Very, very important, very powerful. He first of all said he was distressed. These are things happening in his mind. He was anxious. Anxiety had laid hold of David. Fear, you know. What will I do? It seemed as if it was an impossible situation. And then the men who were his men, people he has loved, he has trained, he has been with, they now don't think good about him. They were ready to stone him. But the Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. He didn't wait for someone to encourage him. He took responsibility for his own thinking. He decided that he will strengthen this anxiety and this distress and this fear will not take hold of him. This is very powerful because we need to take responsibility for our own thinking. You know, even I talked about Jesus when he was in the wilderness fasting 40 days. To launch his ministry. The enemy never likes us doing what God has called us to do. You can find that in Matthew 4, you know. And every temptation he faced from the enemy began with a suggestion. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, you know. And also suggested that if he fell from the high mountain, God will send his angels to come. Just even quoting scripture. Sometimes the enemy will quote scriptures, you know, and let you know that, the Bible says. The truth is that what did God tell you before the enemy was telling you that? That is why it's so important to walk with God, you know, because when we walk with God, the more we get to know God, the more we will hear his voice. Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger." When we begin to practice hearing God's voice, we will know what God is saying. And any thought that comes contrary to that, we will not hear that voice. So Jesus did not entertain Satan's suggestions. What did he say? He said, "It is written." It is written. He had to replace those thoughts, those words, those suggestions from the enemy with what God has said. He replaced that lie with the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to keep replacing. You have the way you walk in victory, the way you lay hold of those thoughts and make them captive to the obedience of Christ. You make them to obey the word of God. You make them to obey what God has already said. You speak the word, you open the scripture and say, "This thought is contrary to this word. I'm taking the word." Amen. And Paul gave a beautiful suggestion in Philippians 4:8. I think the Holy Spirit, not I think, the Holy Spirit, you know, through Paul told us, I'll read that scripture in Philippians 4:8. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Yeah, that's how you measure those thoughts. You know, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Pure? Is it holy? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Can somebody like, wow, this is so good. You know, is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? Praise to God. Think about those things. Say, think on these. These are the things you should. This is your truth. This is your truth. Stand on it. Amen. And Paul was saying this when he was in prison, when all hell had broken loose against him. He was talking about fixing your thought on what is true. I can imagine him applying this to himself, given his current circumstances. He said, don't think about the chains. Think about the fact that you have been redeemed. You've been set free. That this is just the flesh. That there's a home above. God is waiting for you. You know, there are rewards in heaven. Like he said in Colossians, I set my eyes on things above. This is a man who is physically, he's tormented. Physically, he's in chains. But he wants to think about things that are true, honorable, right, you know, pure. That is what God is calling us to do. Think on these things. Think. Thinking is action. It's something you do. You forcefully sit down and think on these things. You give the enemy no space. Just as you pray on things, you think, is part of the work, is spiritual work, is spiritual warfare. So think. So what do we really learn from this? Looking at the examples we just talked about, the difference between defeat and victory is often the thought you agree with. Are you going to agree with the thoughts that do not align with God's word and God's promise to you, or you're going to agree with the thoughts that make you defeated, that make you distressed, depressed, overwhelmed, anxious? No. Amen. So taking thoughts captive looks like this. You pause, you question the thought, and you replace it with the truth. Say a thought comes and that comes to you, and that thought says you can't do this. You pause, you look for a scripture. What does the scripture say about me? Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That becomes your anchor. That becomes the word you will stand on, especially when you know that God has called me to do these things. Say, Lord, you called me to do this thing. You are strengthening me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm being strengthened to do it. Philippians 4:13. Amen. There's this quote from a man called James Allen. He's a Christian. He's of old. You know, he said, a man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. So if you don't like what you're seeing that you do in life, change what you're thinking. Change what you're thinking. If you don't like your actions, ask yourself, what is feeding these actions? Change what you're thinking. So if you say, I can't do it, you will see that you will not be able to do it. But if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you will see your life changing in that direction. You'll be doing them. So ask yourself this question. What thoughts do I need to confront this week? What truths will I use to replace it with? What will I no longer allow to stay in my mind? Remember, you have the power. I have the power. We're not calling on God to do it. The Bible says we take captive of these thoughts. Amen. So declare with me, I take authority over my thoughts. I reject confusion and I embrace clarity. I refuse to be confused. I refuse to allow thoughts to determine my directions in life. Amen. My mind is governed by truth. I walk in strength, discipline, focus, and victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, teach me to guard and govern my mind. Help me not to entertain what weakens me, discourages me, you know, what makes me feel useless and unable, but to embrace what builds me. Lord, strengthen my thinking so I can walk in alignment, daily aligning myself to your will for me. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in my life, because I'm not allowing the enemy to take hold of my mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take captive every thought and I'm walking in victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Wow, welcome back, dear listeners. We are wrapping up our show for today. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Thank you for showing us that we do not have to allow the enemy to take our minds captive by introducing and suggesting thoughts that are out of alignment with your will for us. Thank you for what has happened in the hearts of your daughters today as we shared on the battle in their mind. Thank you that many are going to, you know, register and walk in victory today going forward. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So today's conversation reminds us that inner resistance is not a sign of failure. When you feel that battle within you, it doesn't mean you are on the wrong path. It is often evidence that there is a calling on your life and the enemy wants to silence you. So I want you to take that as a woman listening to me right now, that you're feeling as if the resistance you're feeling internally, even externally, is a sign that you are out of line with God. But think again. Go into the closet. Go into your quiet corner and pray and ask God to just confirm that this is just a battle that the enemy has launched against you, so that you walk in victory and you stay committed in spite of. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So when you're feeling resistance, you're feeling rejected, you're feeling like all hell has broken loose. Yes, all hell has broken loose. You have an enemy. He's going around looking for someone to devour. And he is no respecter of person. So we go into the closet. We go into a secret place. We war in prayer. We war in fasting. We war in replacing those thoughts with the thoughts of God, the word of God. It is written. Amen. So we want you, or I want you, to do that. Do not be dismayed. Amen. So know that the devil is after you, but you are a victorious one. So as you go into this week, choose to guard your thoughts carefully. Amen. What you protect today helps preserve what God is developing in you. Don't give the enemy room. If you start with one thought and you allow it to linger there, it becomes a stronghold. Don't give the enemy room, because God is working out something in your life. A steady mind will sustain your purpose. If you have a steady mind, you'll be able to sustain the life of purpose that God has called you to. And I'm encouraging you, I'm rooting for you, I'm praying for you that God will help you to stay strong and take captive every thought, every stronghold. It must obey Christ. It must obey God's call on your life. Say, hey, thought, you cannot say anything contrary to what I've already heard God say about me. Hallelujah. And one thing I want to let you know is that I would love to hear from you. We have a WhatsApp number that is 081-729-1657. You can WhatsApp us on that number and tell us how this show is transforming your walk with God and your pursuit of purpose. We'd like to know so that we can give him glory. And I'm your host, Annie, and it has been She Excels. And I want you to become the woman God designed you to be. Until next time, stay focused on your assignment, stay grounded in the Lord, and keep excelling in what he has entrusted in your hands. It is a month of love for us at Radio K Pulpit. Show love to somebody. Let somebody know Jesus loves them. God bless you and see you next time. Thursday, 12 to 1. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.